If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Paul Listnick Behind the Curtain. You watch our show every weekend on WGN Plus, the new TV streaming app, which you can get on Apple TV or Roku or Fire TV. But once in a while, we're going to do a bonus episode here on WGNRadio.com and Spotify and all the other platforms, YouTube, you got it. And that's what we're doing now because Moulin Rouge is coming back to Chicago, one of the most amazing shows of all time, and so glad it is returning. Last time it was here, through me, you met much of the cast of that show in an incredible setting at the Cadillac Palace Theater. It is coming back to the Cadillac Palace Theater where it will play from April 2nd through the 20th. And having the lead, playing the role of Christian in Moulin Rouge, walking in the previous footsteps of Aaron Tveit, is Jay Armstrong Johnson, who's playing that role now. Jay, thanks for joining me. I know you're in another city, but you're on your way here.
That's right. I'm excited to be in Chicago.
I looked at your background. There's no wonder why you're in this role, because your voice, haven't heard it yet, waiting for opening night, but your voice is incredible, given that you've been in Parade, On the Town, Catch Me If You Can, Phantom of the Opera, Candide. What an amazing background. How does this role vocally fit into the realm of what Jay Johnson does?
I'd have to say it is the hardest thing of my entire career. I kind of trained classically, so the Bernsteins and the Sondheims of the world have kind of been my bread and butter. To do a more pop rock focused show is just, it's a different kind of approach to the voice. And this role is kind of incessant. So there's been a lot of quiet time between shows. No alcohol, no, no, you know.
Oh, no.
I know. I'm living like a freaking monk, but I'm having a blast. This company is amazing, and I'm having such a good time singing these songs.
Yeah, that's the thing, because unlike a Sondheim or a Bernstein, I mean, these songs are songs that people will be familiar with. From so many different artists. And if people saw the movie back in the day with Ewan McGregor in your role, people will have memories of that. And of course, Aaron Tveit bringing it to life on Broadway initially, then he went back later on. But I'm sort of curious, do you, in a show like this, do you even think about the people who have played Christian before, or are we getting Jay's take on this?
I think you're getting Jay's take. I love Aaron. I've stood by for Aaron in Catch Me If You Can. So we've known each other for a really long time. And what's great about this particular company is that they encouraged us to put our stamp on these roles. I think because it's not a Sondheim and it's not a Shakespeare, there's not this need to do it by the book. And since it's kind of a bunch of pop tunes that were shoehorned into a narrative, they are kind of looking for each individual's take on this tragic love story.
And it's no jukebox musical by any means. I mean, it's not, I don't think you call, I'm not sure. I mean, to me, the definition of a jukebox musical is Mamma Mia. It's all of ABBA's songs and in a show. And that's not what you have here. Here, you're reaching out to the Beatles. You're just reaching out to so many different artists to make the story work.
Right. It's a musical potpourri, I like to say.
Yeah. And the notes that you have to hit. I mean, like you said, I guess you do need to live like a monk, right? Because, you can't go out screaming every night down the street.
Yeah, I kind of do. I mean, I'm in my third week of doing this role so far, so I'm new to the show, and my voice is just kind of understanding how to navigate performing 8 shows a week and where I can hold back and where I really need to kind of push through. So I'm continuing to learn what this show is to me and my voice and my body and my mind and my spirit, and touring on top of that and being away from home and away from my partner and away from my cats, but I'm super, super grateful to be here.
Wait, is the cat okay? I got to worry about the pets.
Oh, they're just young. I just adopted them the week before I got this job. And so kind of missing their crucial growth stages right now. But
you can bring a cat on the road, can't you?
I can, but my partner's about to open Boop the musical on Broadway. So, cats don't travel as well as dogs, and he needs them probably a little more than I do at this point. But I get to go back.
As you know, Boop actually had its premiere here in Chicago. I have the Boop Chicago mug and interviewed Jerry Mitchell in the cast. Was your partner in the show here in Chicago?
No, actually, he wasn't. He was doing Aladdin on Broadway at the time, and then he left Aladdin to go do Boop, and he's swinging the ensemble and understudying the lead guy. So he's got his work cut out for him.
Can you have him steal me the dog?
That's an expensive dog.
I don't care. that is an adorable dog. Well, tell him to break legs, because that's also was just such a wonderful show, and to see it. And I can't imagine what it looks like now as it's just opening, but it did get its start here in Chicago, as Jerry Mitchell does with all of his shows. Let's talk about Moulin Rouge. How about your Santine? Who is playing your Santine, and what kind of magic is there in the Christian Santine relationship?
Her name is Ariana Rosario, and she's absolutely spectacular. I got to meet her a few years back doing a cabaret in New York City, and she was just the kindest and sweetest and sexiest and loveliest. So when I found out that she was going to be my Satine, I got pretty excited. We find goofiness in it. We find there's a lot of playfulness that we found between the two of us, and our voices blend really, really well together. And, you know, she's been doing this for a while. She's been out on the road, I think, with Moulin Rouge for a bit, I think 2 years now. So she's really kind of taken me into her arms and kind of shown me the ropes of what it means to kind of tour this behemoth of a show. And she's just the best partner ever.
One of the things that makes this show magical, the first time it was here, and I'm fairly sure this was the first stop on the national tour, for the show, but they transformed. They had a press day for us at the Cadillac Palace Theater, where you will be performing, and they transformed the theater, because I had seen it in New York on Broadway early on, and I don't have to tell you the reds and the elephants and the just all the stuff that makes the set and the theater. But I'm wondering, now that you're on a national tour coming here, it's just the 2nd through the 20th, it's not all that long, do they make the transformation, or do they have to kind of downsize that a bit?
They did have to kind of downsize it a bit, particularly after the pandemic. You know, they took a pretty big hit, I think, financially. And so the downsizing had to happen for it to kind of reach the rest of the masses across the United States. So it's still a gorgeous set. But I think that they had to get rid of one or two trucks in terms of its traveling across the United States. So there's not necessarily your big elephant anymore and your big windmill, but more the idea of it. We show the elephant with our eyes. Our acting is
perfect. Can you show me what an elephant? But give me the elephant.
I kind of confused about the elephant.
No, that was kind of trunky. That's okay. By the way, the first time I was going to see the show, not long after opening in New York, you may have been there at the time. Do you remember when all the power went out that night in New York?
Yeah, I was doing Phantom of the Opera at the time.
I was in line ready to go in and watch Moulin Rouge. Where first it was like, we're delayed. And then pretty soon it was like, there ain't no show. And it was, and so, by the way, so we had to, like, what do you do? Well, it was the west side that was out, not so much the east side. And so I ran over to where, oh, shoot, I'm drawing a name. I forget it. I'll think of the play in a second. But, like, they were running. They could operate. So I'm, like, in line, along right behind three people, with the first guy taking 45 minutes to decide where his ticket should be and what he should do. By the time I got there, window closed, show on, too late.
Oh, my chill.
It was chill. The chill.
Oh,
be
for
more
sure,
chill.
For sure.
Be more chill.
Be more chill. Oh, yeah. Such a good one, too. Yeah, that was actually a really fun night for us on Broadway, because we, you know, had the night off all of a sudden. I think we all went to the bar, actually.
Right, just before you opened, because it would happen like about 7 o'clock or something like that. So just, yeah, sure. Horrible. For folks who have not seen Moulin Rouge, the movie or the play in the past, what is this story about?
It's a tragic love story, really. I play Christian, who is kind of an expat from America, escaping his suffocating life to go and live a bohemian artist's life in Paris. And he runs into a couple of weirdo artists that kind of take him into their scheme of trying to put on a big show at the Moulin Rouge. And so I'm a singer-songwriter, and I'm there to audition my song for Satine, the star of the Moulin Rouge. And it works. Their scheme works, and we create a show, and Satine and I fall in love. Don't fall in love with a woman who sells herself. It always ends badly. And that's all I'll say.
Tragedy prevails in all accounts. But by the way, we get to Lucille Lautrec. I mean, there are some like this historical elements. So I guess just if people are wondering, what is the story based on? There's truth in here on some level.
Yeah, I mean, there's loose historical people in it, but it really is a fictional story. I mean, of course, Moulin Rouge is a place that exists, but I think that Baz Luhrmann, who was the original director of the movie, kind of took his twisted, exciting, theatrical way of presenting narratives to the world and had this kind of Romeo and Juliet love story amongst this brothel of sorts.
I should have brought you. I have my coffee table book signed by Baz and Aaron and all the original cast. Yeah, it's just magnificent. But you might remember when it came out and they were doing some book signings. So, you know, thank God for eBay, but was able to get it. But in doing this, do you find in talking to like doing Phantom is traditional. So many of these things are traditional. When you meet, if you meet audience members after the show and whatever, if they're waiting out in the alley for you, it's hard to get backstage anymore these days ever since COVID. But what are they talking about to you? What is it? Is it the music that moves them? Part of it used to be just the staging and the setting. What are you hearing from audience members?
I think it's mostly the music. I hear a lot about me and Ariana's voices. I mean, the kind of range of this show for the both of us is really, it's exciting to hear. I love listening to the audience reactions when a new song comes across their ear, particularly here in Florida right now. The older audiences are loving the David Bowies, but then, you know, we'll get to Chicago and our younger audiences are going to die for the Lady Gaga, you know? So we really do kind of span decades worth of top 40 hits. And so there's something in this show for every single human that will come to see it.
Okay. When you said older audiences and then you tied it to David Bowie, it freaked me out because when when I hear older audience, I went, yeah, those 80-year-olds, but David Bowie's not where they go. I'm not going to ask you what you define as older audience, although, yes, I remember David Bowie.
I mean, I'm in Florida. That's all I'll say.
Performing at the Villages. Well, you know, as far as audiences, now, I know you've been in Chicago. You've never performed in Chicago before, right?
I haven't. It's my first time.
So I'm going to educate you a little bit. What have you heard, if anything, about Chicago audiences?
They're going to be a lot more responsive than Florida audiences.
Well, because we're alive, but aside from that, no, the reality is here's what I think you're going to find. I hope I get to talk to you while you're here so you can maybe confirm this. There's a reason Jerry Mitchell and others do their premieres, world premieres here before they get to New York, before they get to London, The Devil Wears Prada. Jerry brought it here when he realized it wasn't working, and off to London it went, and, you know, hey, Elton, write a whole new score. Nice. But anyway, what you're going to find here, I think, is that Chicago audiences are incredibly sophisticated with regard to theater. When you perform in New York, you're dealing with tourist audiences a lot, right? People, Broadway's a thing to do. When you come here, you're dealing with the theater crowd. I'm telling you that, except it is true. What impact is that? What does it mean to you to hear that when you have audiences in Chicago, these are people who love theater, go to theater all the time. We're not going because we're visiting Chicago. We're going because we live here and this is what we do.
Right. I love that. It's kind of like doing off-Broadway theater in New York. It's not necessarily for the masses. It's for the New York theater goers, which I love doing off-Broadway. I don't pay for, but I enjoy the art of it. So I'm excited. I've had a lot of friends that decide after college to move to Chicago to pursue theater. And I've done really well there. And then, you know, they kind of cut their teeth in Chicago and then finally go to New York because Chicago is where the real theater happens. I mean, there's so many transfers that happen from Chicago. So I'm excited to feel what that feels like.
I used to have a life as a public speaker and trainer and stuff. I would wake up sometimes and not know where I was. Literally, I had to one time call downstairs and said, where am I? And they said, you're at the Marriott. I said, no, what city am I in? I really didn't know. Does it get that rough? Have you ever been on a stage? And like when you get on a stage, is it, you know, you're in Florida or do you get on a stage and just go, hey, it's an audience. It's a stage. They're rebuilt. They're, you know, this is just my experience wherever I go. But for the audience differences.
The first couple of days in a city are a little challenging because it's the backstage part that's the hardest to kind of navigate because, you know, like here in Florida, the current theater that we're in is not as big, doesn't hold all of our sets. So there are a few flies that don't come in. And then you exit backstage and sometimes my dressing room is stage right and sometimes it's stage left. And so I get lost backstage more than I do on stage because the on stage life kind of stays the same, but it's that backstage life that's like, where the hell am I right now?
Do you get treated better as a principal in a show like your own dressing room, or whatever? Whereas perhaps ensemble members are, you know, they're in a, you know, because you always see friends of mine who are in New York. They'll always post their videos, and there's 10 of them lined up along the mirror and that kind of stuff. Do you find that the principals are treated differently in theaters?
I mean, yeah, I think principals are treated differently always, whether you're in a film, whether you're in a TV show, or whether you're on Broadway. You know, you have a heavier load. You're kind of carrying the weight of the show on your shoulders. There was a birthday celebration last night with the cast, and I had done two shows, and I've got an interview today and another show tonight, and two at you. So I couldn't go out and celebrate. So I get my own dressing room, and I can lay out my yoga mat and do my warm-ups in there, and then everyone else can go drink and cavort while I go home and shut up.
And FaceTime with the cats.
That's right.
Do you, you know, I mentioned some of the Broadway and other theater work that you've done, because they're such incredible roles and requiring a strong voice. I didn't mention the other part of you, which is the concert part of you. You've performed at the I'll leave that one for last. Carnegie Hall, Lincoln Center, Kennedy Center, Hollywood Bowl. I mean, these are places, again, what do you prefer? Give me a show, give me the Broadway thing, or is it like, no, give me the concert venue. I you know, send me back to Lincoln Center. I mean, Carnegie Hall, all I can do is say, how do I get there? And I'm told practice.
I love a concert, particularly in venues like that, that are so well-known and high-paying. Concerts are great because it's a short-time commitment with a high paycheck. But they're few and far between, right? Those kinds of concerts only come to me once a year, maybe twice a year, three times if I'm lucky. So I really do enjoy a long run. It's kind of what I've trained to do my whole life is an 8-show week. But when you're in a long running show, when you're doing a 6-month contract or a year contract, your life isn't really your own. You belong to the show, and you have to kind of live your life preparing for the show that night. So, you know, today after I get off this phone call with you, I'll steam my voice. I will go to the gym. I will warm up my voice. It's a wild life, but I can't do anything else, Paul. I'm not good at anything else. This is what I love. this is what I'm trained.
You can play Jason in falsettos and play baseball. I mean, that's what he did. Right?
Yeah, have fun.
But, well, you know, and I'm sort of curious, you look like you are working pretty steadily. Friends of mine, I went to school with Greg Edelman. You may know Greg, who just wrapped up Water for Elephants, and Nick Rouleau, and I can just go on and on. The other day, I interviewed Kennedy Kanagawa and David Gao, if you know those guys, and Kennedy playing Milky White in Into the Woods. And what I'm intrigued by certain actors who is just show to show to show to show. And what David Gao said in the interview was, because I live with a panic of not working, so I make sure there's always something. In your career, does it always seem to be show to show? Are you always auditioning? Are you always worried about what's next? Or do you live in the moment?
I kind of am always worried about what's next. I mean, to be completely honest, before I got Moulin Rouge, it was a year and a half of mostly unemployment. I lost my health insurance for the very first time in my entire career because of how long. I mean, I had a few concerts that were kind of keeping me afloat financially, but those weren't equity jobs, so I wasn't getting my weeks for my health insurance. So this show kind of saved me financially and health-wise, so I'm very grateful for it. And while, yeah, I am wildly grateful for the kind of career that I've had, I would say that my 18 years of living in New York City, if you add up all the time that I've worked, really, it's only a solid 5 years of work of that 18 when I accumulate all of my shows together. So, there's been lots of bouts of unemployment and some downtime and it's feast or famine out there. I think that I could have made a career in the ensemble and probably popped from show to show and never, ever, ever stopped working. But I kind of chose a path of wanting to be seen as a leading player. And that was just a choice that I made. And so sometimes it's an off-Broadway show, or it's an off-off-Broadway show, or it's a national tour. And then sometimes you get to do that Broadway show and live that dream again, which I've done now for six shows.
And I'm doing, we have so many actors who watch this show. So that's kind of in my mind when I ask you a few of these questions. I don't typically ask these, but you just seem open to them. And so here you are in a principal role doing what you're doing, and it's amazing. So I'm sort of curious, for somebody like you who does a principal role, and I'm coming off of what you just said, would you down the line say, and maybe one day I'll find myself in the ensemble of another show? Or is it like, no, that's behind me now. I'm a principal player and I need to be a principal character each time.
I think that I would, if I did an ensemble of a show, it would have to be a very specific show for a very specific reason with a very specific creative team, right? Like if I don't know if Lonnie Price called me and was like, there's this Sondheim musical that has never been heard of before that we are mounting in New York City, and there's a small part, it's a featured ensemble role, please do it. I'd be like, you know what, you're Lonnie Price, it's a Sondheim show. You know, like, it would have to be really specific, or really a compelling reason to do it. But my agents would hate me.
Right. I love it. By the way, if you see Lonnie, tell him I said hello. We worked together in a project here in Chicago once. And by the way, when you get to Chicago, I mean, the life of the you know, performer on the road, do you get time? I know you've been to Chicago, but do you get time to go see the Art Institute and take the architectural boat tour and get to Garrett's for caramel cheese corn and people's various suggestions on what pizza you should eat, which I would suggest is Lou Malnati's for a deep dish. But do you get fun time? And by the way, right near your theater, there's a relatively new restaurant called Francois Frankie. Uh-huh. Stupid name, but you walk in, it's a carousel bar in the front. It's a bar it's a carousel. Wow. And then it's steak and French, you know, steak frites and all that kind of, it's like fine, really good French fruit, just a half a block away from your theater.
Oh, great.
So something to do, but do you get much play time, or is it like, and I heard what you said, but it's like, they're all playing, but I can't, I'm going to steam my voice.
Yeah. I mean, we get 3 weeks in Chicago, which is like great. I mean, it's one of the longer sit downs.
So this is a longer stay for you.
Yeah. Here we've done a couple of 1-weekers here in Florida. I think we did 2 weeks in Richmond. So I think 3 weeks is our longest, at least of my part of this contract. So I'm excited about that. So I'll at least have 2 days off in Chicago. So I do kind of get around and try to see what I can see. I just, I'm usually on vocal rest when I'm doing so. I mean, here I have my vocal rest hat on, even I got this from my partner. Christmas.
Well, we can't emphasize enough this particular role. I mean, there's certain roles, you know, you go to a show and sometimes I think, oh, I can do that. I can do that 8 times a week. And then there's roles like yours, Christian, going, no, I'm not sure I would get through it twice a week. But even if I did, it'd be like that. It is just an amazing thing to have to get through. Are there roles I can see you doing a role in Miss Saigon. There's shows that your voice, I think, would take you to that you haven't, not that they're, or Les Mis. Are there shows you want to do that you haven't done yet? Those would be, I think, classic J roles, or maybe I'm wrong. You can tell me I'm wrong.
No, what I like to say that like I can do is be eclectic with the way that I kind of approach things. I've been waiting for a pop rock role for a really long time. I mean, I kind of made my Broadway debut in Hair as a swing in that, and I understudied Gavin Creel. So I was like, oh, good. My first show on Broadway is a pop rock show, but then I haven't really had the chance to do another show that has that features pop rock vocals. So I'm so grateful to have this moment to show the industry. By the way, I don't just do Bernstein. I don't just do Rodgers and Hammerstein. I can also sing this pop rock stuff. So I would love to try to cut my teeth at that thing. I've been workshopping a musical that's actually going to La Jolla Playhouse this fall that kind of features a more like soprano operatic mechanism. I'm not able
to
out of town tryout in La Jolla because I'm out on the road doing Moulin Rouge, but that's kind of a different thing that I've never been able to show the industry that my voice can also do is, you know, a soprano style approach.
Oh, that's going to be a soprano or falsetto?
It's technically falsetto. I guess it's just a reinforced falsetto because it is a soprano tessitura that this particular show has been asking me to do. So someone else will do it in La Jolla, but I'm keeping my fingers crossed that if it makes a transfer to New York, that I'll be able to come back with it.
Oh, that's fat. Can you tell us what it is, or is that not announced yet? Or?
Yeah, it's called The Heart, and it's based on a French novel about a heart transplant. It's kind of a chamber piece where they're
No pun intended.
Right. They're using EDM music actually to kind of tell this story. And I'm one of the doctors in the hospital that's a part of the process of a heart transplant between a donor and its receiver. I'm an opera aficionado, the role is. And so that's kind of my musical way into this storytelling is through this like operatic way of being a doctor in this hospital.
I love it. I think I've heard. I've heard the name of The Heart of the show, so I don't know much about it, but I will check it out now. Where's home for you? I don't mean New York. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Fort Worth, Texas.
Okay. I thought you were going to say an Oklahoma kind of a thing, but Texas works.
And that kind of thing.
Now, have you performed back there as you go on the road? Will Moulin Rouge get to the Dallas, Houston area?
it is going back to my hometown. It's playing the theater I got my equity card in. I will be in the star dressing room for the first time because I was always, you know, downstairs and in the lower dressing room. So this will be my first time where I'll get to be upstairs. I have not performed in that theater in probably 18 years. 17 years, so it'll be a really exciting homecoming. All my friends and family are still back there. Everyone's freaking out about it, so it'll be a really cool week.
I'll bet your childhood bedroom's waiting for you too.
It is. I'm excited about it. I don't have to, and I get to opt out of the housing, so I get extra money that week too.
I love you know how to work it.
That's right.
I love it. Well, Jay Armstrong Johnson, I can't wait to see you as Christian. Just the show is incredible. The role is incredible. And so I have no doubt that I'm going to go Aaron Tveit who?
yeah, that's right. Hear that?
Because the first one here that I don't know if Connor was his name who took that. Yeah. Also, that voice that's just amazing. So obviously in the casting, they have to do some incredible things with this, and they have. Moulin Rouge, the musical, is playing at the Cadillac Palace Theater, one of our gorgeous, you're going to love it. It's going to be reminiscent of like the Fox in St. Louis. It's one of the big old grand theaters that was built years ago, and they rehabbed it and stuff. So just a favorite. April 2nd through the 20th, that's not a long time, but long enough to get tickets at BroadwayInChicago.com. And when you get here, if you have questions about where to go and what to do, if there's no Chicago's in the cast, you just call me. I'll make sure you get to the right places and eat the right kind of pizza. Very important, because I know New York style pizza. I like it, but it's not Chicago. Thanks for joining me. Break legs on the road.
Thanks so much,
Paul. Moulin Rouge. Don't miss it. BroadwayInChicago.com through April 20th, April 2nd through the 20th. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.